Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This is LifeMint.com, and you're listening to the Mint Editors Podcast with me, Nandita Mathur, and Mint's editor, R. Sukumar. So the first story we discuss is about the Fed rate hike, which obviously means that the dollar is going to sort of strengthen and the emerging market currencies might weaken. So what do you have to say about that?
See, if you look at it in a very linear fashion, yes, I think money will start going out. But then a lot of it has already been going out in anticipation of this. So I think you need to look beyond that. And if the Indian economy, let's say, starts growing at 8% from next year onwards, which means all this demonetization trouble is behind us, we get a nice expansionary budget like many people expect we will. It gives some kind of SOPs and tax incentives and stimulus and everything else, and people are generally happy and things look up and the economy starts expanding at more than 8%. We will be a 2 trillion economy that's expanding at 8%. It'll be very difficult for investors anywhere in the world to overlook that kind of growth. Because even if you have 6-7 years of such growth, it's a tremendous opportunity for investors to ignore. Sure, I mean, if you look at it in an extremely linear fashion, you can say, okay, the Fed has hiked its rate, emerging markets are going to suffer. I don't think they will. I think the reason they're called emerging markets is because they're emerging. There are risks, but then there are tremendous opportunities, right? And all investing is an interplay between risk and return. I'm not so sure that it's going to be extremely linear. But that said, you have to look at the message that's coming out from the Fed and what it says about the US economy. You also have to look at the fact that the next president is Donald Trump, who is obviously going to have, at least from the sound of it, a very business-friendly kind of approach, which bodes reasonably well for the American economy. Of course, if he starts penalizing companies that outsource work or which manufacture outside the US, then it's a bit of a problem. But I think the ultimate loser in such an thing will be the US economy itself, right? I mean, so we'll have to see. I don't want to comment on the next president's policies even before he's taken over. But I would hesitate before I say with certainty that just because the Fed rate has been hiked, the Fed has hiked the rate, it means emerging economies like India have gotten hit. You can't have near zero interest rates, right? I mean, as the economy grows, you will have to do that.
Right. Moving on, the next story is the Tata mystery one, where Nasli Wadia has filed a 3,000 crore defamation suit against Tata Sons. And that's the latest we hear from that end. So where is this all going?
Good question. I wish I knew the answer, right? I mean, with every passing day, there's a new twist in the tale. But these are like minor interludes, right? I mean, the big story remains the same. What do the Tatas want? The Tatas want Mistry out. Will they succeed in getting Mistry out? We had an analysis earlier this week where we looked at voting patterns. We looked at what would happen depending on minority shareholders, etc., etc., etc. We know for a fact that some of the institutions are going to sit out and abstain. They will get their way. In all major companies, they will manage to remove Mistry as chairman and director. That's what it looks like from our analysis. It'll be close in some cases, but they will still manage to get it done. Of course, it's an entirely different question. What would happen if in one or two companies they don't? Because then, right, the game changes. But I'm assuming that analysis, which is based on what happened in the TCS thing, is more or less accurate as far as it's reading into what's going to happen in the other Tata companies is concerned. So that's what the Tatas want. What does Mistry want? There have been some unsubstantiated reports in some news outfits about him wanting Tata Motors or him wanting JLR and things like that. I'm not so sure, right? We are not there yet. That is an eventuality that we will have to consider only if the Tatas don't manage to get him out of some of the companies. Mm. But what does he want? My sense is he wants a clear definition of the role of Tata Trust. He wants protection as a minority shareholder in Tata Sons because he and his family own 18.5%. He wants continued board representation on Tata Sons. I don't know whether he wants it to be himself or whether he will have a nominee. I've heard a few names mentioned mentioned. But anyway, I don't want to go down that road because it would be speculation. And he obviously wants these so-called governance issues that he's highlighted to be addressed, which in some ways would be an acceptance of defeat by Tata Sons because they have to admit that they didn't do everything by the book. But that much is clear now, right? I mean, the halo around Tata has gone forever. I mean, it's shattered into a million little pieces. And no amount of Fevicol is going to help them put it together, right? I mean, it's gone. Things like this defamation case, obviously the Tatas have offended Nasli. But that said, Nasli is clearly in Mistry's camp. But this is an interlude. I mean, the big game is, will the Tatas get what they want? Will Mistry get what he wants? If the Tatas manage to get him out of group companies, what are the kind of cases that Mistry will file? Mm. And that's what we have to look at.
Right. So moving on, I mean, today I think is the last day of the winter session and there's been absolutely no work that's happened. And one of the issues that's going to get impacted is the GST bill, which is now under a big cloud. So what do you think is actually going to happen?
I think it has to get passed by next September, right? I mean, because whatever taxation we have right now will expire then.
Yes.
It has to get passed by then. So that is a hard deadline. You can't get around it. My own sense is that the budget session will start early and they will finish whatever work they need to do. Before the budget session starts, they obviously have to, I don't know, make sure that the work gets done.
Mm.
I think the parliamentary management has been pretty bad. You have to ensure that work gets done.
Right.
And as much as you want to blame the opposition, and we should blame the opposition, I think the Congress party especially has been particularly obstructionist. I think some of the responsibility is also on the ruling party. Let's not forget that this is exactly what the BJP did when it was in opposition. And the current finance minister, Arun Jaitley, who is now obviously very upset by what's happening in GST, was the person who said that such obstructionism was a legitimate tactic.
Right.
So now the boot's on the other foot. Let's also not forget the fact that it was the current Prime Minister who, when he was Chief Minister of Gujarat, held up GST for almost 3.5-4 years, right, by refusing to play ball. So I think the minute political opportunism, because that is what all these parties heads of it, takes over, it's all very well for the party in power or the party which suddenly comes to power to speak of lofty objectives and doing well and big bang reforms and all that, and of how the opposition is holding it up. But I think it's how you behave when you're in the opposition that is a good reflection of your character. And unfortunately, from that perspective, we have horrible political parties. I mean, there are no heroes here.
Yes. Moving on to demonetization, one of the stories that's come out is that Axis Bank is at the center of money laundering.
Yeah, I mean, they're in all the reports, right? I mean, it's frightening. If you read it, you will think that, oh my God, what's happened to Axis?
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was that rumor, which I'm sure you saw sometime back. It was based on a news report in a regional language publication, which said that the Reserve Bank of India, which is the banking regulator, was considering scrapping Axis's banking license.
Yeah.
It was a rumor that Axis and the Reserve Bank of India promptly scotched. But there does seem to be a lot of noise around Axis. But here's our sense. We don't think it's restricted to Axis. We just think they've been unlucky.
Right.
We think, sure, there have been instances of such corruption where a lot of bank employees have facilitated laundering of money, right?
Mm.
After the demonetization scheme was announced. And it's just that the instances where these have come to light are in the case of Axis. I can assure you that we will find a lot of such instances with the other banks also, right? So it's not just Axis. It's just that they seem to be in an unfortunate position of all the early discoveries having to do with their bank. Of course, the larger question is, does this mean their compliance system is bad?
Mm.
Or does this mean their compliance system is so good that these are showing up as alerts? Because many of these were actually showing up as alerts in the bank, which then forwarded them. And then the investigation started carrying out.
Mm.
And maybe the compliance is bad in the other banks because these are not showing up as alerts, or they will show up as alerts much too slowly.
Later.
So either way, it is frightening simply because we now know that this is probably what has happened with in most other banks also.
Right.
And if it's happened in Axis, which is a private bank, I can assure you it's happened in a lot of state-owned banks, and the state-owned banks dominate the Indian banking system. Two, I think it's just unlucky for Axis.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, the other day somebody was telling me, make sure you keep checking your bank account to make sure there's no, you know, large deposit, because there are all these fake accounts being unearthed with crores of deposits in them.
Sure, but then you know what to do, right? If there is one such deposit, withdraw and spend. It'll be good for the economy.
Right. We'll end there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So those were Sukumar's top stories for this week. Do let us know what you think. You can email us at feedback@livemint.com or follow us at LiveMint on Twitter and Mint on Facebook. Thank you for listening and see you next Friday.